Hello and welcome to episode the 256th. I always struggle with the sixes of the internet's one and only podcast about comic books. I am your host, Jean-Luc. You're listening to the Comics Podcast. I'm joined by all three of my co-hosts. Chad is here. Big Scary Monster is here. It's killed Chad, I guess. So Chad's not here. Alex is here. Wow, none of my I don't think any of my co-hosts are here. Emily,
no,
are you
I'm here?
Here. Okay, cool. We got Emily at least. That's good.
Really? You couldn't meow? God damn it, Emily.
Oh, Chad, that's you. What happened to the big scary monster?
I ate him.
Nice. Good for you.
It was a real good vor session.
Arf.
Well,
and we still have a dog, so that's, you know what? We're three of the four are accounted for, but that's good enough. If there are more dog, I hope there's no more dog noises.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because I did draw Alex as a dog in the furry version of
that's true
the album art.
Well, I think he said that's what his persona is.
I remember now. I'm a human being, not a dog. Wow.
Please do this voice for the entire episode. I love it.
Emily, Chad, Jean-Luc, how are you doing, my friends?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
I'm kind of drunk. I've been better.
Well, Chad, why are you drunk? What have you been up to, huh?
I was eating pizza, drinking whiskey.
Wait, did you just say, you just said, why are you drunk?
That's a dumb question, Alex.
That's the classic, like, oh, when did you stop beating your wife? Like,
when did you stop beating your wife? The people want to know.
Yesterday.
As soon as she died.
Jesus, okay, that's more good. Let's maybe ask that bit.
All right, my voice is back to normal.
That joke was so bad that it tilted the accent out of Alex.
Oh, yeah. Fuck off. That was a good joke. It was just really dark.
I'm keeping it in. I've actually been re-listening to every episode of Opinions Are Cheap from the beginning. And
oh, God,
them.
That's a mistake.
I want to get it done by the 300th episode or whatever the next big one is. But, man, yeah, some of the jokes are... I mean, they're all great. That's all I got to say. What were you saying, Jean-Luc?
I was just saying that you're a bit of a looser editor than maybe Chad and I.
You know, I like to have it unfiltered. I like to add things instead of take away. That's my that's my editing style.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Zack Snyder have a lot in common, actually.
The attitude.
oh, dear.
Ah, interesting.
Quick, say something else that's terrifying.
No, that's all I got. That's all I got. I'll behave.
So how's everybody doing?
Well, I'm still drunk, so pretty good.
What kind of pizza did you get, Chad?
Pepperoni and cheese, just kind of a normie pizza. It was one of those thin crust ones.
Oh.
What was the occasion?
It was Saturday.
Oh.
Oh, it is Saturday. You're right. Wow. Happy Saturday, guys. Jesus. Wow.
Happy day we normally record. Although, but,
like, there's a fucking occasion for pizza and booze. Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't know. You always are talking about how you're trying to, like, not eat healthy and not eat things that are bad for you.
Yeah, so I'm a fat, ugly slob.
You got me. You happy?
The problem is that pizza and whiskey are delicious.
They are. They're
so good. Whiskey's kind of gross, but pizza's
great. Fuck off,
being drunk is delicious.
Yes, it
but,
is.
Have you guys tried potatoes and molasses? It's like,
potatoes and molasses.
I've had potatoes and rum, yeah.
See? It's fantastic.
I hear potatoes and molasses actually is really gross.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be really cute.
Yeah, I bet a bunch of people have tried it since watching.
I mean, I'll try it someday, you know?
Yeah, that's why I've heard that it's gross is because people tried it after watching Into the Garden Wall.
After I saw Speed Racer, I drove a car. I was like, wow, may as well give it a go. And, you know, it's pretty
good.
Gotta
try this thing out.
Yeah.
How was your experience driving a car?
You know, it's kind of, it's not as neon and lighty as a... as the Wachowskis made it out to be.
Yeah, that's sad.
A bit more 2D, which is weird to say because we don't live in a 2D world, but it's, you know, yeah. But, you know, I'll do it again. It's like, you know, I've driven before and I'll drive again. It's a threat.
That's good to know. Yeah. Chad, I hear you've been watching some six-month-old movies again.
Yeah, I watched Raya and the Last Dragon. It came on Disney Plus.
To be fair,
Raya.
Whatever.
To be fair, that movie was like paylocked for like 3 months. So
it was paylocked for like 3 months.
How do you like the dragons?
It was fine. The first like 15 minutes of that movie kind of sucks like a lot, and then it gets pretty good. But
look,
you gotta get through some shit.
I'm not gonna say it's like the best movie, but like I didn't think it sucked. Like the
wow. They spent like the first literal 7 minutes just like, here's exposition that's actually not that important because we'll cover it later, but we'll do it in kind of a creative way as far as the art style goes, so you don't totally hate yourself. And then the two characters as kids have like the worst dialogue for like another 7 minutes, and I just want them to die, but they don't because
fuck
if they did, it wouldn't
off.
Be
a... I love that scene, and I hate
I'm a dragon
you.
Nerd too. Yada yada yada. Fuck off.
They're
that's
adorable.
Horrible. They suck.
God.
This is a big change from last week when Emily and Chad were both like, fuck the kids. But this week, it's only Chad who says, fuck the kids. So
yeah, wait.
I mean, I only like
that wrong.
Kids. When I only like kids when they're lesbian coded, so I guess that's fair.
I didn't get any lesbian coding out of that, and I looked for it. Because I remember one of the reasons people were talking about this movie, were like, yo, there's lesbians in this, and it's queer positive.
Are you kidding?
I was like, here we go.
We're trying to kill each other the whole movie. What's more erotic than that?
True.
Wow, I actually can't argue with that. She fucking got me, guys. I can't.
Sorry, Chad.
Anyway, I'm glad that you did actually kind of like the movie, because I feel like, I mean, I know that you have like a medium opinion of it, and I feel like that's sort of the general consensus, but I also feel like people were a little harder on it than necessary.
They're hard on it because the first chunk of it sucks, but it does get better.
I don't
like
think
once...
that was most people's complaint, Chad.
What was the complaint?
I don't know. I didn't read the bad reviews. I just saw people getting upset, and I was like, I don't need this negativity in my life.
Hmm.
It got better after once the dragon showed up. The dragon's fucking great, by the way. She's like a remedial dragon. She doesn't know shit.
She's
dumb.
Adorable.
She can
I
swim. I want to hug her so bad. She's so cute.
Oh, yeah. I really like Sisu. I feel like a lot of people have like this really love-hate relationship with Awkwafina as a performer, which I don't really get because I always find her charming and funny.
For the longest time, I thought that was the same voice actress that does Ida in Owl House, because they have a similar kind of like, and I was like, halfway through, I was like, no, it's definitely not her. I should be paying more attention to the movie instead of what this
fucking
actress
is. Speaking of Owl House, the season 2 premiere was this morning.
I had heard that. I did not watch it.
You should. It was good.
It's on my to-do list.
But yeah.
So yeah, Raya's pretty good. On the whole, like, it's not perfect, but there's really cool stuff to it. I like some of the design decisions. I almost wish it was longer just because, like, I wanted the characters to interact more, and going from place to place should feel like a big deal, not a scene change. Like, they travel across the continent and, you know, just, oh, we do a wipe. We're in the next area. We just traveled, like, 50 fucking miles. And it's like, nah, I feel like there should be, you know, we should. The pacing is a little weird. Like, they tried to fit a lot into under 2 hours.
I'll agree with you there. The pacing is a little wonky.
On the whole, and like, it is a super predictable movie. It takes its plot structure and it's just like, we're going to execute this pretty much exactly how you think we will, but we're going to do it in a really decent fashion. Like, it's a pretty movie. The design's cool. Some of the world building's cool. The characters are all very fun. It gets the job done. I would not pay money for this movie, but it was on Disney Plus, and I waited for it to be free, and it was, and it works.
Yay.
Well, one last question for you before we move on.
What?
What would you call the genre that describes Raya the Last Dragon and Avatar the Last Airbender?
I would call it Avatar the Last Airbender genre.
Anime.
This is a throwback to some...
Yeah, I know.
Six-month-old discourse.
I was going to say, you're going to invoke the discourse.
Look, if we're going to talk about six-month-old movies, we have to talk about six-month-old discourse.
Oh, it's some Lindsay Ellis bullshit.
The short and skinny of it is that Lindsay Ellis said that the movie reminded her of Avatar The Last Airbender. And
which
even
it
though
fucking does.
Several other reviewers had also said this. Apparently, it was racist when Lindsay Ellis said it. So that caused, agreed, like, a firestorm. It's just another situation of, like, a group of people not liking an internet personality and seizing like the moment that they say something that could be construed as being out of line.
Well, it's good that you get to watch the film now with like all that out of the way. And you're just like, oh, it's an okay movie. Like without all the hubbub.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Did anybody else what else happened this week?
In the Heights came out this week.
Oh, I haven't watched it, but right. I'm going to.
Well, that's an example of an internet person I don't like, so I'm gonna
Okay, but In the Heights is actually
a movie, not a person.
In the Heights is actually good. And even though like I know I say that as a person who has professed to like Hamilton on this podcast, but I mean like I think that In the Heights is actually better than Hamilton, mostly because it comes from a place of authenticity and not writing historical fan fiction.
No, it's definitely more in Mr. Lin-Manuel Miranda's wheelhouse of like, oh, this is my experience growing up in the U.S. as an immigrant, and it's like, okay, cool. Thanks. Yeah. Directed by the guy who did some movies, so that's pretty cool. I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Glad to hear it.
So you're just gonna bring it up, and
I don't know. Like, I quite like the musical, but like again, it's. When I like I've listened to the soundtrack a bunch of times, but I don't really like I know the story, but I thought that all musicals had everything happening in the songs, because when I saw Hamilton, literally the whole thing is like musical and it's like on the soundtrack. So I'm excited to actually see it and
don't
see how
most
it
musicals
fits
not have everything happening.
Well, there's like, two different types of musicals. Yeah. There's what's called a sung through musical, where like pretty much everything is a song, and then there's like. I don't know if there's a specific term for musicals that are not sung through. It's just like
Disney
musical. But well, like the difference is that when you have a soundtrack for a sung through musical, you can pretty much get the entire plot. But that's not necessarily true for every musical.
No, it's not. So it was like, but Hamilton was one of the first ones that I really got into. So I watched. I'm like, oh, this must be how all musicals do. And then I think I was listening to Dear Evan Hansen. And
sample bias.
And I was like, you know what, this is not as good. It's a very confusing story. I feel like there's a lot of plot holes. And apparently that's just how they do them. So,
It turns out different musicals are different. Who would have thought?
Lame.
I finished watching Sweet Tooth.
Oh, nice. Oh.
I liked it a lot. And I've actually, I kept this one close to the chest this week. I've started reading the comic. I read the first two volumes earlier this week. And nice. I have volume 3 on my phone, but I haven't read it yet.
Hell yeah. How are you liking I'm more interested in how you're liking the comic than the show, to be honest.
I gotta say, I'm not gonna lie to you. I like this comic. I think I kind of like the show a little better.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's just like I feel like they both like stand alone as like good pieces of art. I feel like the show, one of the reasons that I like it a little more is that there's a little more warmth, a little more there's another word I'm looking for, but I can't quite grab it.
Venus.
No, that's not it.
That's it. Congratulations, Chad, you got the word of the week.
Yay! Anyway, no. It's just a little more like the relationship between the big man and Gus is a little more like friendly, even if like he's not necessarily like I don't know. There's just it's very different characterization, and I don't think that like that means the comic version is bad. I just kind of like the. I kind of like the dynamic more. And also, they took out a lot of the, like, religious stuff that's in the comic.
That's a huge part of the comic. Like, the
yeah,
like, the primary antagonists in the comic are practically, like, a cult of hardcore Christians.
Jeff Lemire went to a Catholic school and did not have a good time.
Like, the dad being religious is, like, not there in the TV show and like that is also not a part of Gus's character. I also feel like in the TV show Gus actually acts a little more like a 9-year-old, but writing children is very difficult. So I don't really, that's not like a knock against Jeff Lemire. It's just when I read this in comparison to how the kid acts on the show, it's like, oh, this is like just a differently written child who maybe feels a little older in execution, but that's not a bad thing. It's just a point of comparison.
For me, I'm gonna watch the show probably sometime this week with my mom, who also read the comic. And I was sort of just waiting for her to get back to start watching it. But that sort of, to me, like, makes me a way more skeptical of the show, because it sounds to me like they sanded off some of the edges of the comic, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I'm not gonna lie,
I would agree with that statement.
At that point, it's just a preference thing, honestly. Yeah. Like, what sort of appeals to you, ends up appealing to you more. And for me, like, I don't know. Well, I mean, I could watch it.
It's definitely less gritty.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe I'll watch it and I'll enjoy that aspect of it. But
The animal cult in the show is way different from the in the comic. Like, they're basically not even the same. Like, the only thing that they have in common is that they wear, like, the animal masks, and they, like, have opinions about hybrids that is counter to the prevailing culture. Like, in the show, it's like kind of, it's almost like a Lost Boys situation, where it's like a bunch of, like, teens who have come to the belief that hybrids are the future, and it's their job to protect and save the hybrids from poachers. There's no weird gross stuff, like, with the leader his dog sons on leashes. There's none of that. Also, I don't know if you remember the character Becky from the comic. She is super different in the show, to the point that, like, you may not even, I mean, you'll probably realize who she is now that I've told you, but, like,
sure,
if I had not said anything about it, you probably would not even realize that that's who that's supposed to be until the episode where she says, "My name is Becky," which is several episodes in.
Becky.
Yeah, she says it just like that, Alex. I can't believe that you.
Carrying the wind. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
such a big part of the second volume, or maybe it's, I don't remember.
And there's none of the comments, like, but the prostitution stuff. It's a lot less gritty, and
it sounds more streamlined.
They made it for Sweet Tooth for the Stranger Things audience.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Actually, I would probably agree with that.
And I say that as someone who, like, enjoys Stranger Things.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing. Like I said, I think I kind of prefer the show, just because I kind of prefer, like, the tone, maybe. But that doesn't, like, I still really like the comic.
Cool.
I don't know.
Well, I'm looking forward to
I'm interested to hear what you think after you watch it.
Yeah. I've wanted to reread some of the comic as well. I think I said that last week, but then I didn't read any of it.
I'll have volume 3 read by next week's episode. Cool.
That'll be fun. I'm excited. Maybe that'll motivate me to revisit it. We can talk about that again. Yeah. It'll be fun. I'm excited to revisit Sweet Tooth. It's been so long since I read it. Like, I don't even think, I think probably the last time I read it was, like, right after it finished. I reread the whole thing, which has been years now. So,
yeah.
Cool. I guess we still got some time before we usually start talking about comics. I mean, we can dive into some comics, but did anybody else come prepared with things to share with the class?
Well, I think Chad watched the Bo Burnham special.
I did watch the Bo Burnham special. Okay with talking about that for one more week in a row.
Finally. Yeah. After this week, we're not allowed to talk about Bo Burnham ever again.
Yeah, that's the pact. Yeah.
So my big takeaway from this is, if there were a ghost and a suicide, it would be like it was directed by A24.
Damn.
But there wasn't, so it, you know, swing and a miss, I suppose. It was pretty good. It was like, I like comedy. I'm not the... I hit and miss with comedy music. I feel like most comedy music overstays its welcome, because once you get the joke, you still have, like, another verse, refrain, bridge, refrain to go. And you're like, yeah, we probably don't need to do the whole song. Like, I got the punchline. Some of that suffers from this, but on the whole, I think the tone and, like, the craftsmanship and the visual element to his special is, like, really engaging. It's really dark and surreal.
The use of lighting is just, like, mwah, I love it. It's so good. And he's, like, got, like, lights in his hand that he's using to light the scene at different times. And, like, it's just, I don't know, it's so unusual. It's not, I don't know. Like, I didn't have any expectations going in, and this was still just not what I... Even though, I guess, like, this is sort of a logical conclusion, or maybe not conclusion, but, like, a logical point to get to after some of the work in his last couple of specials, which have also had very heavy audio-visual elements.
Yeah, I didn't watch those, but I did like this. I was pretty engaged. It was I can see why people are finding this like really, really cathartic. My experience with 2020 and lockdown and COVID was very different for most people's because I still had to go to work. Like, nothing was shut down. We were an essential factory, and mm-hmm. things, not a lot changed for my life. But for those that did, like, this is a really good summation of like, hey, shit's really fucked and we're not in a good place. This is worth watching. I do think a lot of the jokes are like, they land, that the songs are pretty funny. Some of them are just like really good songs. I had a good time with it. I do think it maybe goes on like 10 minutes longer than it needs to, but I think most things go on like 10 minutes longer than they need to. So that's, you know, that's just me, but I had a good time with it. I do recommend people watch it.
Did you have a favorite song?
I like the one he did with the sock puppet, mostly because, like, it was really dark. And, like, I saw the joke coming at the end, like, from 10 miles away. But when he did it, I was still happy he did it.
Yeah, it was real good. I don't want to... John Luke, I feel like you would, like...
I've seen okay. a clip of it on
I was going to say, if you haven't seen the one with the sock puppet, I feel like yeah. you would, in particular, enjoy that one.
I think the song Welcome to the Internet is also just, like, a really good summation of, like, the fucked up things about the internet and what it does to us. Like, there's, if you're going to listen to any songs from this, that's probably the one to listen to, because you might actually get something from it. And like, a lot of the jokes in the songs and stuff, I don't think it's like new comedy. Like, I've seen people bitch about this stuff, about social media and companies and the state of the world, for a really long time. Like, he's not like breaking ground, but his execution of it is really good. Like, there's a good foundation here. You might not get something totally new, but you're going to get it packaged really well.
Yeah, I think it just helps that he's just a really talented musician, like, when it comes right down to it. Like, I don't think that some of the jokes, even, like, just even with just the same words, would always necessarily land as well without, like, the accompaniment of, like, these, like, fucking amazing harmonies and like wacky musical flourishes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad that you finally watched it.
Yeah, me too. It was a fun way to kill an hour and 45 or an hour and a half or whatever it was.
It's an hour 30.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that you guys have enjoyed a comedy special. That's good. Considering in my mind, I don't know. I thought those went extinct like 20 years ago.
But, oh, they're
know.
Big now, man. Like Netflix special.
I see people talking about the new ones on Netflix all the time. But...
Yeah,
I like stand up comedy. I'm very selective about which which ones I watch. But when like it's good, I think it's good.
Yeah, no, that's much like with anything. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad.
There's an oversaturation of stuff that's not good, and I just don't watch it.
That's also true of most things.
Yeah,
but not comic books.
Oh yeah,
nope.
I would say there's an oversaturation of bad comic books, but you know, you just
I say there's an oversaturation of comic books in general. You know, there's just you don't have to put out 50 titles. If you're a DC Comics, but they don't do that.
I feel like there's enough comics that everybody can find something they like, even if their taste is bad.
Well, you know, if your taste is bad, you got so many more comics you can love. It's kind of awesome.
God, I know. I'm so, you got to be envious of those people, man.
Yeah.
You gotta be a little envious. But you know what? There's something for the rest of us. Something for the rest of us.
It's very true.
Like Carmen.
Yeah.
I believe this is the second to last issue, right? This is a 5-issue mini.
I was very worried that this was the last issue for a moment.
You know what?
I felt kind of like that.
If this was the last issue, this would be a really good last issue. Like,
I know. I just wanted a little more.
That is a really. I want something a little less sad, but also I don't know if it deserves a happy ending because, like, of what it's about, right? Like,
yeah.
I guess it's just a little disappointing, like, to get to the end of an issue and not have realized it was the last issue. I feel like I just, like, if it had been, I wouldn't have been emotionally prepared.
Sure. It's a it does end on a really good panel of that, like, oh, this, yeah, that absolutely could be the end. Mm-hmm. And I think that panel at the end is fantastic, where she's just, like, standing in front of her childhood friend on sitting on his bed, mm-hmm. as he, you know, leaves her a voicemail with all his feelings for her. but I also, yeah, I'm with Chad. I feel like this book doesn't deserve that. And well, the character maybe deserves that ending, but the book probably, I don't know that that's where the book is going.
She's
going
to become an angel and, like, basically take over Carmen's job.
Yeah.
We all know that's coming, right?
Yeah, that was my guess, is that she's gonna do something like that would happen. But I don't know, it could swerve in the last issue. I thought this issue was really good. I mean, I just love the sort of, like, happenstance, you know, wandering into Cisco's ex and just extracting her memories, and just having the, after everything that's happened, having the realization that, like, you know, she took her life for nothing, basically.
Well, I mean, that's sort of, like... I mean, not to get existential, but, like, that's kind of true, huh? Like, usually when that happens, like, you could probably have kept going on for a little while longer.
But you generally.
Like, I don't mean that in, like, a disparaging way. Just
it's people get to, like, people get to a point where it's like they feel hopeless, and, you know, like, it's the only option, and they do stuff and they kill themselves, right? And mm-hmm. that you know, that's obviously what happened to this character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it like actually having the opportunity to have that realization. Is even you know, post-mortem is really powerful, I think, and that entire sequence is really powerful, with her, like, running, like, and also, like, kind of funny, like, I love the, like, constant, like, please open, just hoping people will open the door, like, keep doors open for her. It was just a good running bit, because she can't, like, open doors herself because she's a ghost. So the whole, like, you know, when she gets to Cisco's apartment, like, being, like, begging her parents, like, just begging his parents to leave the door open. They obviously can't hear her, but it's quite funny. I had a good time with that. But yeah, it's a really good issue. This has been a really, really good miniseries. I'm glad that it, you know,
yeah.
I think we had some concerns about it at the beginning, but it feels like it's been way more.
It's a little bit of a rocky start, but it was never bad.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's also been, like, way more grounded in, like, this human story than it seemed like initially. Because that first issue had, like, was interspersed with those pages of, like, philosophical wonderings.
Yeah.
You guys remember, like, those prose pages?
And we talked about, like, hey, is this a matter of, like, poor translation? Translation, it really felt like a disjointed comic, and that's something that we haven't really had since the first issue, so
it could have just been a case of whoever was translating the comic just kind of getting into a better rhythm with it as it went on,
for sure.
Yeah
and I definitely think that it definitely has gotten into a better rhythm, and honestly has become something that I've really, really loved, so I'm really excited for the last issue to come out after reading this. Feels like it's gonna stick the landing.
Yay. I hope so.
Yeah.
Kia Marsh had another book this week, though. That
he did.
I don't think he quite stuck it. The landing this week. No, and that's,
yeah.
You know, I don't think the art stuck the landing either this week. I think there was some
yeah. This was not a banner issue of Joker. I think we've been sort of, like, lulled into, you know, a fault. Maybe not. I don't want to say a false sense of security, because maybe it gets good again. But I thought this issue of Joker was pretty rough. It certainly has its moments, but it, to me, like, it felt like it was swinging too far into the taking itself very, very seriously direction.
Yeah, the whole, like, oh, I'm going to torture you more than when you were tortured when, like, your daughter got, like, you know, attacked by the, like basically being like, yeah, this is going to be more emotionally damaging to you than the killing joke. I'm like, I don't know, yeah. Joker. I mean, like, how? How is that going to happen?
He's actually going to kill Barbara this time.
Yeah, but like that's, I don't know. Like, is that worse? I don't know. But well,
honestly, there was, okay, I do want to say there were some parts of this issue I really loved. Basically everything in Gotham until the stinger with Talon showing up at the end. I love that. I love all of that because it's the side of, I think this is something that gets talked about a lot, but Batman is commonly like, oh, he's the greatest detective on the planet. And like, he has like this team of crack detectives who are really smart working on every case, but we never really see that. And we'll get to Batman the Detective, where we also continue to not really see that side of the character, despite the title of the book. But like seeing like Oracle and Steph and Cass, like, have their thing where they're like just doing the actual like investigative side of things was really fun. Like I enjoyed all of those sequences where Barbara's sort of like running this like strike team from the watchtower or the clock tower, and having them all have their little tasks of the things they're investigating. I thought that was a lot of fun.
It was just unfortunate that was the worst looking part of the book. Like the faces looked really weird. Yeah. And it's like, hey, our dialogue's gonna be sick, but like, yeah, faces not so much. I mean, yeah, I kind of knew something was gonna be up when like the first 30 pages were just like monologue over like,
oh man,
forest.
I started like skipping the dialogue or the words on the page. I was like, oh, we're doing one of these with the DC comic, where if I just look at the art, it will be way better than if I read all the shitty text.
Yeah,
I'm glad we did this for 6 fucking pages.
I mean, it's just like the Jim Gordon monologue about like, oh, I did a lot of bad things in my life. I lied to my wife. But I did it all in service of something bigger. It's just very like,
we know that, Jim. We know that.
Especially given like the angles that this book has taken on Jim Gordon in terms of like his relationship with Batman and Barbara. Although to be fair, I think some of the Batman stuff we might have done the legwork on that. But like his relationship with Barbara, like in the last issue, like there's more complexities to him than this, and this is just really like, this is much less interesting characterization, and the payoff of it, the scene where he's like, I'm not a good man, but I know how to fight evil, is just such a corny line.
Isn't that what Catwoman said in Batman Catwoman? Wasn't that her gist, basically?
Is that a thing?
Or her thing was like, I'm not a, I don't know, anyway.
I think that's her thing in The Dark Knight Returns, or Dark Knight Rises, the Christopher Nolan movie. I think that's Rises, not Returns. But
Rises, yeah.
I like to try not to think about that movie.
I learned somewhat, like, people post stuff on Twitter like, oh, list your top 5 most watched movies. And someone with Dark Knight Rises is their, like, number 1 most watched movie. And I'm like, are you talking about time?
That's
because you
up.
Might have only seen it twice because it's just so long. It's like,
that's really fucked up, though, if that's actually like, if you've seen that movie, like, you know, although I say that, but weirdly, I watched that movie twice in the last like month.
That's so strange.
Why? Like,
well, OK, so the first time my sister wanted to rewatch the Dark Knight trilogy. And so she rewatched Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and then she came up here and she was like, oh, I'm rewatching the trilogy. We should rewatch this, because she hadn't seen it since theater. So I'm like, fine, I guess. And we watched it. And then one of my friends was like, lol, wouldn't it be funny if we watch this movie because it's hilarious? And I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I guess.
And then we watched it, and it was very funny. But, you know, my time could have been better spent, for sure. That movie is
debatable.
Really not very good.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, that's one of his most watched movies, but he probably hasn't seen it twice in last month. So you're outpacing him.
You hate to see. You frankly hate to see it.
Hmm.
What else came out this week that was good or bad?
Well, Chad
Tractor Valley
like
Road.
Tractor Valley Road.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
Valley Road kind of sucked this week. Like, so much bullshit. Like, it moved from scene to scene to scene to scene, and there was no connective tissue to really any of it. And I understand where it ended up, and I'm fine with where it ended up, but getting there was a fucking chore. Like, there was more plot than character or theme or just like anything. Like it was just all like, we gotta cover all this stuff and not explain how or why. Like, oh yeah, we'll just let you into the mental institution to talk to your principal. Yeah, that makes fucking sense. Oh yeah, just trade your shoes for a Ouija board. We'll let you do that too.
It seems like this could have maybe used a couple more issues, because like it feels like we're really kind of trying to rush to get to the, because like it's the last issue is next week, right?
Next month, but
that's what I meant.
That explains this then, because it's like the whole like, oh, the gang is now split up going to the final issue, and it's like, well, was there really a good reason for them to be split up?
No, I feel
like it could have been done better if it had had a little more room to do this, but I feel like we're just trying to cram in everything that we want to do with the series in these last couple of issues.
I think the bigger problem for me is not so much that a lot happens. It's that it happens in like, cause I think the point of this issue is that you're supposed to like feel hectic and stressed because a lot of things are happening, because that's how the characters feel. And that's part of why the characters end up the way they do at the end. Although I'm not convinced that it's not some like landlady manipulation thing, or will be revealed to be that. But like, I think the bigger problem is that this book just refuses to actually lean in. Like since like the third issue or so, or since the second issue or so, like it sort of refuses to lean into the horror side of things. So they talk about like, oh, we had these awful dreams and you know, all this awful stuff has been happening and it's made us feel awful and stressed. And then like, you never see any of that. So you don't really get to, like as the reader, I don't feel like I'm really getting the full perspective of the characters.
It's and definitely so, not the focus. Like,
yeah, and right. So I don't get the same sense of like feeling stressed and anxious about things that are happening, because my perspective, and obviously like the things that have happened have been been terrifying and anxiety inducing and yada yada yada, but like it's all had this like sort of like fun, you know, Lumberjanes-esque tone to it, where it's like at the end of the day it doesn't have any real bite because it's a book for kids, or it's trying to be a book for kids, and which isn't to say that like there hasn't been a lot there that I've enjoyed, but like it, you just don't get to the same place that the characters get to, or at least I didn't feel like I got to the same place that the characters do by the end of this issue.
I kind of rolled my eyes when the old lady said, yes, the Proctor Valley Road, the title of this book.
That's the name of the road.
I know.
I mean, it's always corny when that happens, but like
that's... It was like happening so fast, and then it was like from thing to thing to thing, and then she like says the name, and I'm like, okay, so she said the name, and then like the band broke up basically, and it was like, it felt like it hit a lot of cliches in like a pretty, you know, in a one issue stance, in one issue strand, where it's like, we didn't really, like, it kind of doesn't feel earned that like all this is happening, and sure, a lot of it is probably like the landlady's influence, but it's like, I feel like for the first three issues, they were kind of like a tight group and like, you know, doing well, even though like all this crazy shit was happening to them, like they were still pretty unified and things. So for it to suddenly be like, oh no, they're not. And it's like, well, I don't really buy it, but
yeah. And I think that it would work better if they like had more space to actually lean into that.
Yeah.
Or just like, okay, they, like, because the first couple of pages are really good with like, they say the landlady and the fish dies, and it's like, that's
legit. I liked that.
That's really, really good. Then they establish that the landlady can take them over at least for small periods of time. And it's like, oh, okay, that's terrifying too. Have her do that. And then like that scene in the beginning where, or at the end where like the ghost is like basically spilling everybody's secrets to make them split up. Like if you did that in the first like six pages, then everything after you pace it properly, and now the breakup is earned, and you get the same effect. You just place it better in the story. No, I don't give a fuck about the principal. Like, don't go back to talk to him. It's not important.
Yeah, I'm sort of surprised he was even around. I just assumed that like after the cliffhanger from the last issue, he'd just go missing.
I thought he was dead. I was fine with him being dead.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little disappointing. I mean, we'll see. Maybe it sort of redeems itself in the last issue.
The last issue's got a lot of legs to do, though, because it's got to get them back together and defeat the evil, and it's got to do that in like 22 pages.
Maybe they won't defeat the evil. Maybe it'll be like a classic horror story where, you know, it's bleak.
It's
a
boom comic. They're gonna defeat the evil.
Yeah, it's being adapted into a TV show already, so they're gonna.
I was gonna say I could see them doing another miniseries where it's like, hey, they're like kind of like a Scooby-Doo gang, they're solving mysteries.
Yeah,
it sucks too. I really like these characters. The writing is mostly really good. This is like the first bad issue of this comic, but it's got some real problems, and it makes me really worried about issue 5.
Yeah. I certainly agree with most of your assessment there. Yeah. There were a few other comics. I guess we had a couple of penultimate issues that we talked about, but this was the last the last issue of this arc of Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman 773.
Yay!
I assume you guys are all still reading this, but I was not super enthused with how this arc ended.
It was underwhelming as fuck.
Yeah. I feel like it just wrapped everything. It just didn't feel like a satisfactory ending to like Wonder Woman's journey here. Like it felt like they'd done such a good job leading up to this point of like it being like this really epic feeling story. This really like epic adventure of her, you know, going through as like, I guess they're not in Asgard, they're in Valhalla, but going through Valhalla and like interacting with a bunch of different characters and figuring out the mystery. And then we go to this big confrontation and it just sort of cuts off halfway through, and just sort of doesn't go anywhere after that.
The whole Dr. Sisko or like, you know, Dr. Psycho thing is just like, yeah. Oh, right. He's like, and it ends on such like a, I'm controlling you, Wonder Woman. She's like, no, you're not. He's like, oh.
Yeah, okay. I really liked like Dr. Psycho just showing up in that one issue, and I wish they had just left it at that. Like, I think that like there's like obviously like it's sort of like a Chekhov's gun where you have like this, you know, I wouldn't say well known, probably more well known after the Harley Quinn show.
I don't think he's like a Chekhov's gun though. I feel like he was a misdirect.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what he felt like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It felt more at the time. It felt more like a misdirect than a Chekhov's gun, but. In retrospect, it was a Chekhov's gun, but it was so underwhelming to have him just be like the person like creating this illusion for Wonder Woman, which it's not exactly clear that's what was happening because like a lot of it was real, but he was clearly influencing everybody, I guess. I just thought that like I wish that there was a more satisfying conclusion to like Wonder Woman's confrontation with the Valkyries.
And I like the theory that
the Valkyries is just getting doomer pilled.
Or like, yeah, like not even the theory. Like I like the concept of like the Valkyries being like, you know what? We need to unionize. We haven't had a break in fucking years. And you guys are just like, you know, you're just killing and then fucking and then dying. And like, what, are we supposed to just keep bringing you back? Like, come on, like do something. And I kind of get that at the end, but it's like through Dr. Slut. Like, I kind of wish, like we said, like there wasn't that, like they were just kind of pissed off and it'd be like, oh, that's better. But.
Yeah. You wish that there was more faith in the characters almost, right? That like writing strong characters would be enough. You don't have to like, that like if you write strong characters, their motivations make sense, even if they don't make sense at the beginning of the story. By the end, like character motivations make sense, and you don't have to like end it all with they were being controlled by a psychic, right?
Yeah,
it's just a bit of a letdown. And then the whole like, you know, she gets knocked out and then wakes up and everything's been neatly cleaned up is so. I don't know. Like, that's just like so boring. Like, I get that. Like, that's not the kind of thing that people don't want to read that part of the comic, right? Where like everything gets sort of figured out. But I feel like there's a compelling way to write that. That's way more engaging than just Wonder Woman gets bonked on the head by Thor or by Sisko and then wakes up and the whole plot is resolved. Right. Like, that's just, yeah. It's just not a satisfying ending to this at all. Especially because, like, the central mystery also seemed really compelling, and it sucks so much that, like, the central the mystery of, like, oh, why is Wonder Woman, who's, like, typically associated with, like, Greco-Roman gods, all of a sudden showing up on Asgard, or in Valhalla, with the Norse gods? And there's, like, nothing. Just absolutely wet
fart
resolution for that.
I think we might get that answer in the next thing when she goes back, because, like, the last page is like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, she goes to
Paradise Island is in flames.
Yeah.
What the heck is going on? So I, like, this first arc had I had enough great moments and things that I liked that I'm kind of excited for a refresh somewhat, where she's sort of back and then see how it goes. But
I wouldn't say I'm excited, but I'm definitely going to stick with it on the strength of, like, just how much fun some of the first few issues of this were. And I think that this, like, this writing team has a lot of potential to tell really, like, just fun superhero stories, as long as they don't get bogged down in this, like, weird, you know, not knowing how to end things, basically. And so I'm going to stick with it for at least the next arc, and hopefully it goes somewhere. But I just, it's just such a bummer when you read something and, like, the last issue had some flaws for sure, but it's just a bummer for, like, this whole arc to be, like, really enjoyable, and then it just ends and I have almost nothing good to say about the last issue. You know, the fight scene was fun, but also that goes on for too long. It just takes up too much page space. So
it's really frustrating too, where they had this, like, possibly mystery with Ratatusk, like, oh, is he up to anything? And it's like, no, he's not.
No,
that was all bullshit.
Yeah, the line where she's just like, I'm starting to think you're not so much of a trickster after all. Like, come on, dude. Yeah, but that was kind of a bummer of an issue, and I hate to dwell on it so much, but hopefully it picks up again, because like I said, I like this creative team. I think that they can do great things, but I gotta pick up the pace with the next arc.
Yeah.
Did y'all read Six Sidekicks of Triggered Keaton #1?
I really liked this one.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, did you not like it?
I was very middling on, like, this was a very middling issue for me. Like, lots of stuff happens, and, like, there were moments where I'm like, oh, this is enjoyable, but I just came away, like, I just didn't feel like it built much attachment to the characters for me. Like, I didn't come away with it feeling, like, invested or, like, interested in the mystery. Eh. You know,
I like the concept.
Yeah, no, I think the concept is good. For, I guess we should say what the concept is. It's like a bunch of side former actors who played sidekicks of a Hollywood star who was a massive asshole are investigating his. I mean, it's seeming suicide, but they all suspect it's a murder, and they all kind of hate him, but they all also, you know, they all kind of love him also at the same time. And they sort of fit into different archetypes, but all have that, like, core motivating factor to them. And just none of them, like, I liked the beginning, honestly, where, like, he was on, like, when he was on set with the sort of, like, viewer, like, reader stand-in character. And you sort of got that backstory. I'm like, oh, this is, I wonder where this is going. Because I thought it was going to be, like, more of a... I knew nothing about this comic going in. And I was like, oh, is this going to be a story about, like, an awful production of a TV show that nobody thinks is good but has good ratings, so they have to keep making it? And that was... that. I enjoyed that, and then it sort of diverted. And past that point, it was a little more touch and go for me.
I liked it. I'm interested to see where it goes.
I think the concept's great. I think the art style's kind of cute. The writing's kind of cute. It's imperfect. I almost wish there was, like, maybe 5 sidekicks. You know, just, like, one less character, so we had a little more space to flesh out the ones we have. The guy that's, like, actually really likes this actor and is trying to defend his honor, and there's, like, the fight with the stuntman. I thought that was kind of stupid, just because it wasn't realistic. Like, some of this stuff felt like it could be grounded in reality. Like, And then just like, oh, we're just gonna have a comic book fight scene at the end because it's a comic book. We feel like we have to have it. Like, that didn't work very well. I am curious where it's gonna go. I don't care about the mystery, but I am kind of curious at what it's going to do from a character perspective with those that are still alive. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough comedy in here that it is worth reading the second issue.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna continue with it. It's awesome you guys liked it. I just was not as enthused with it as you guys were.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this one a lot. And a lot of it is, like, concept and just, like the opening and, like, just him treating everyone like shit and everyone being like, oh. And then you see his legs hanging there, I'm like, yay. And there was enough zany moments throughout from the characters. Like, there's the guy who, like, has the tattoo of him on him. He calls the guys accusing him of murder ignorant dullards, and I'm like, wow, this is like
that was kind of funny. The tattoo reveal, I did like that.
Who wrote this here book?
It reminded Kyle me of Rock Candy Mountain.
Yeah,
it's like Rock Candy Mountain, but like less serious.
Yeah, and maybe not quite as good.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. But yeah, definitely for now, it's a messier start, but
it's a messy first issue, but I think this could be like a really solid, you know, 4 or 5 issue mini, whatever it is. I assume it is not an ongoing.
I don't know. Is this just episode 1?
Yeah, this doesn't seem like it would sustain an ongoing. And maybe this will be a Rock Candy Mountain thing, where I wasn't super enthused with Rock Candy Mountain at the start either, and that one grew on me a lot. So hopefully this one this does the same.
Yeah.
Ooh. The second issue of The Good Asian came out this week as well.
Yeah.
Which...
I found this like kind of hard to follow. I don't know if anybody else did. I feel like there was a lot going on and not a lot of connective tissue.
I had to go back. I definitely got like, I think 6 or 7 pages in and then had to scroll up to read the Dramatis Persona. Because I totally forgot, because they're talking about the missing woman, and I totally forgot what her name was. So every time they're referencing, I'm like, who the fuck are they talking about?
I had that experience as well.
Yeah, and so I scroll back up and I read through that. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that person. That makes a lot. Everything that they're talking about makes a lot more sense now. And after reading that, that sort of cleared it up for me. I thought this was another strong issue. It doesn't have like the same tonally. I think it's a little bit of a shift from the first issue. It's not. It doesn't feel as like hard boiled as the first issue did. But I think that the character in terms of character moments, like his interaction with his like adopted sister in the club was revealing. I think, and I know that like their relationship was clearly rocky from some of the flashbacks in the first issue, but. I thought that was like a really well written sort of like icy exchange between them.
Like all the dude's got like an axe on his shoulder and his like stepsister's just being a total bitch. Doesn't care.
Yep. Yeah. It's good stuff. But again, I also like once I was able to figure out parse exactly what everybody was talking about, I found like him trying to solve the mystery pretty compelling. And like, because there's a lot of that in this issue of him, like just going around and talking to people and, you know, trying to figure out what's actually going on with his adopted father and the woman who's gone missing. But then also trying to like, you know, protect people in his community who like he knows are going to get. You know, pinned on the blame is going to end up getting pinned on them for like the murders. And that was, I thought really like that angle to it is what I think really gives it, you know, a little extra edge that I like.
Yeah. Like the story, like the issue ends on a good place where I'm like, okay, I want to read the next issue. It's just getting there. It's kind of like with Proctor Valley Road. I feel like the journey to where we finally end up and the cliffhanger to the next issue is just kind of rough, but there's definitely good stuff here.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something. There is a lot going on. It's definitely one of those things that will like sitting down to read this in trade will probably be a lot assuming, you know, it maintains its quality going forward. But sitting down to read this in trade form will probably be a lot better because, you know, as with a lot of mystery comics, like remembering the mystery a month after the previous issue came out is can be a little tough, and keeping yeah. track of like exactly like who the characters are and what they know is hard for sure. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. I'm enjoying it still. I mean, honestly, like, if nothing else, I really dig the art style. It's very like Darwin Cook in a really good way, I think.
Yeah, I like this book.
Cool.
Did anyone else read Geiger number 3?
God, no.
Oh, well, oh, okay. No.
So, yeah, I was talking to Sean Luke about this before the podcast, but I missed the episode where you guys read the first one, and we're all like, oh, this is shit. So I read both of them at the same time, and I was like, oh, this is shit. But then I read the third one. And you know how, like, the Geiger guy, he like, locked his family in, like, a nuclear fallout shelter?
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, I'm gonna come back for you guys. So they open the shelter, and they're just all dead. Like,
fuck yeah,
either they...
I'm pretty sure we called that. Yeah,
either they, like, died from the blast, or they, like, didn't have enough food because he fucking locked them in there. Like, I don't know, but he's the hero of our story, and he glows pretty cool.
Man, so. That's
does it
issue
reveal
fucking
how they
sucked.
Died?
What? No, it's he just like, well, he kind of gets captured by this guy who's like a, he's sort of like a King Arthur kid, but kind of like a little shit.
Yeah.
And he, Joffrey. Joffrey's living out of Vegas, all that fun stuff. But he like captures him. He's like, oh, what's in this bunker? And they open the bunker, and it's like his dead wife and kids. And he's like, oh.
I'm shocked.
That's kind of weird. I'm not sure why there's a dead wife and kids in there, but you do whatever you got to do, Mr. Green Man. And then Green Man gets angry.
Yeah, because his wife and his kids are dead.
Yeah, I think he killed them. Like, I think... I don't know. I don't know if there's no air holes in there, or that we don't quite get a clear...
Turns out he just built a really shitty shelter and it didn't have any air.
I mean, everyone knows that, like, nuclear shelters are just a massive scam, so...
Yeah, no,
it would be really funny if they just like got obliterated, like as soon as
it's his character like... is like a guy who's just like, you know, very like before the whole nuclear thing, he's that guy who's like, oh, I'm planning for this. The government's lying to us. Let's go, yeehaw, kind of thing, right? And then it's like, man, he didn't even build it right, though. I don't know. It kind of made me smile, but I don't know.
Yeah, kind of so, you like that his wife and kids are dead.
I saw it and I laughed. Like,
oh my god! Well,
yeah, it's this book has this absurd quality that I don't think it's going for. Maybe it is, but it's yeah. I'll be there for issue 4.
Good for you, man.
See what else he does.
Happy for you.
It's like when I read Noctera.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Except I think Octera is just more boring than this book. Like, this book actually has like just completely stupid things going on, and it's like, but it's at least entertaining.
That's fair.
But I'm not shaming you for reading an Octera, Chad.
I am.
I was gonna say you can.
No, that's what Emily's for. It's all, it's all
yeah, good. There you go.
Perfect. There's a couple more things that came out. I mean, we can touch on them quickly. We've hit an hour, but we can touch on a couple other things.
Shocker. Die is good still.
Yo, Die is good.
Who'd have thought?
I sort of came to a realization with this issue about this issue and the last issue, which is that the reason that there's a lot of monologuing is because it's supposed to be written like a Lovecraft book.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on, I didn't pick up on that at all. Like, I picked up on the, like, I sort of picked, I guess I didn't pick up on any of the Lovecraft twist stuff in the last issue until they showed me Lovecraft and
yeah, I mean, like, I had a
comic and was like, oh, is this Lovecraft?
I was a little slower on the uptake with the last issue, but like this one, after that was kind of established, I felt that a little quicker, I think.
Okay, yeah. I just, like, I was, like, halfway through the issue, and I'm like, oh, shit, I get it now. I felt,
I mean, I didn't get it immediately, but, like, I did sort of realize what was going on, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it was another, I think, another really good issue of Die. I don't really... I love the fact that at least that characters still like pretend to have morals, you know, that they're like all shocked when she just fucking mercs Lovecraft. They're
yeah.
Like, why did you do that? You murdered him. Like, dog, he... didn't you guys just fight in like a genocidal war against each other like in, like 3 issues ago? So I don't know. That was
you
was,
murdered
that was
him. You that's illegal. Me, but...
but I thought there's a lot of, I mean, I just, I really love the, Soul and I can't remember the, his name now, but the guy who's a fall, he's a fallen now. Wait, no, that is Soul.
Yeah.
Soul and is her name Ash?
Yeah.
Ash.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do
Ash
remember their
great.
Names. I love those two characters. I think they have a really good dynamic.
I agree.
And you know, this issue has, I feel like the last few issues have had a lot more of that. Which is really good. I like it a lot. Kieran Gillen is really good at writing kind of fucked up characters. It's great. I like it.
I love that. It's kind of funny because if you read the essay, like, Kieran Gillen does not like Lovecraft, but is sort of like borrowing anyways. And it's like, yeah, but you're doing it really well, though. Like, the cosmic horror turn has been fucking wonderful. And I love cosmic horror. So.
Yeah. I mean, you can love the genre without really, like, I mean, I like, obviously, like, Lovecraft as a person aside, I enjoy like some Lovecraft stories, but yeah, like I think the like the genre, you know, you can enjoy it without enjoying its progenitor. But it's been really good the last couple issues.
How do you guys think this is gonna end?
I have no fucking idea.
Oh, 5 years from now, probably.
I feel like how? It's a fool's errand to try and predict the ending of a Kieran.
Like,
comic.
Do you think they're gonna? Yeah. Do you think they're gonna like just come back to like? The regular lives or like
oh no I think they're all gonna be dead by the end
yeah,
I, so that would that's be, actually be really interesting because you said 5 years from now and I'm thinking like this feels kind of like a last arc
really
like I think we're gonna be done in 2 issues
oh no we're I can tell you from well I mean I guess I should look at the solicits before I say anything but from reading Kieran Gillen books in the past this feels like a midpoint.
He doesn't like writing more than one book every 10 years.
I feel like he would probably have said that it was gearing up for the end because he normally like
yeah probably
that sort of thing. And I follow him on Twitter so I feel like I would have seen that.
It's just like I don't know I feel like oh we're slipping into Lovecraft now cosmic horror. Everything's fucked. Like, it's hard to go bigger than that. So if this isn't the end, I'm just true. Like, where the fuck are you gonna go next, you weirdo?
Ain't that the question?
Yeah, I kind of hope they all just come back to Earth and are all like ancient, and they're like, okay, let's go to a retirement community, and they're that's it.
Yeah,
that's the end. That's my bet, but you guys have 4 more years to put in your bet, so.
Yeah, 5 years is an exaggeration, but I think there's a solid 20 more issues of this book at least.
God, I hope not. Brevity, great thing. Why can't things be like normal goddamn length?
What is the normal length, Bradley?
Not 40 fucking issues.
I guess this just I come from reading manga, so like I'm not bothered by this. I don't understand this complaint. Like
Chad,
manga's
issues...
dumb.
You're
dumb.
What issue do you think Saga's on, Chad?
Fuck off, Sean. Hey, I that's all your fucker's fault, by the way, too. Alex, like, oh, I just sent you the
I don't know what you're talking
volume
about.
Of Saga for your birthday. Have fun. And like, oh, this is really good. I got to keep reading this. And now we know the fucking spot you guys are.
See, if I buy you just like the trade paperback, like you know, like the regular one, you'd be like, oh, you know what? Maybe I don't have to go. But I was like, I'll get Chad the hardcover, so he has to like, spend another like you know $1,000 over the course of the next 20 years. Because that's what friends do, Chad.
So one of my writers group's like, you know, Saga's done, right? That person's never gonna finish. And I was like, one, shut your mouth. Two, yes, they will because I demand it.
I don't think Brian Kevon has ever not finished.
Yeah, Brian Kevon will finish Saga. Like
whether it's good, hopefully, but like I mean like Why the Last Man didn't get bad. It was just like, oh.
It turns out it was bad all along and we just didn't know at the time.
Yeah. Brian Kevon finishes what he starts, generally speaking.
I mean, like I'm not gonna say it. I wish him health and happiness.
Sure. Man. Hey Busse, finish the Autumn Lands.
Hey
yeah. Oh,
he said recently on Twitter there's more There's more know. Astro City coming soon.
No, nothing stop. About the
But I was excited. I want more Astro City.
I want more goddamn animals. You piece
this
of shit.
This is like when Mark Russell, for 2 years after Prez got 6 issues, was like, "Oh yeah, there's more Prez coming. There's more. Oh yeah, though. Don't worry. Like we're fighting hard to get Prez. Oh, you like Prez? Oh, we'll get you more. Oh, you like yeah Prez? And then it's like, oh yeah, here's the Catwoman Valentine's Day special. We got a 10-page story. And it's like, okay, so that's where Autumn Lands is gonna end, Chad. You're gonna have to read the Catwoman Valentine's Day special to get your
comic books are awful.
Whole I think that's a good sucks. Place to end.
No, wait. Did you guys read The Secret Land?
No, you told me not I started to, it, sucks. And I agree with you that it was boring, and I just didn't enjoy trying to read it. And since you said it was bad, that didn't really encourage me. So I just like
what's
gave
it,
up.
What's it about? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, World War II horse shit. It's the guy goes to go fight, I think, in Japan, and the lady is gonna go be like a secret agent spy in Germany, and they got seashells. They're like, don't worry, we're gonna come back. We'll be married. We'll live happily ever after. But he's told she dies because she's going undercover, and apparently they lied to him, and then so he dies in the war, and she's just like stuck in like the Antarctic with Nazis who are trying to build the doomsday weapon, and the artwork's really fun. Ugly. And the writing is super bad. Like, there's so much garbage exposition on every page, and it sucks. It was so fucking boring.
It kind of sounds like Romeo and Juliet. It's like, he's dead. No, wait, she's dead. No, wait, they're dead.
Yeah, like, the building blocks to the story, like, there could be something good here, but what if we executed it in the worst way possible and everything looked kind of ugly? And it's like, oh, yeah, let's do that, Dark Horse. Good fucking job.
Why not?
Also, Batman and the Detective kind of sucked, too.
Oh, I read that. Yeah,
this issue was rough.
I thought it was fine.
It's
well, it wasn't,
fine,
it wasn't
but
great.
it's just a whole lot of backstory about Bruce and Ducard. Like, it's...
Ducard?
And, like, the story of, like, him, you know, finding Ducard and them having their falling out, like, that stuff is... It's okay. Like, it's decently handled, but it's not really that interesting in the context of the story, because like what happened to the, you know, entire like gang of people who are running around killing people Batman saved, like
they are on
an
issue break?
It's just gone. Like, yeah.
Is Bruce Wayne arrested in the present right now? So is he like
arrested? That's the end. Is he's in, he goes back to the present, he's arrested for killing Ducard.
That is kind of a classic Batman thing. Like, in terms of like a detective thing, we're like, Bruce Wayne is the murderer, but Batman must set him free.
Oh yeah, this has happened. Like, I mean, you know, Bruce Wayne killed Harvey Dent and a million other people and was framed for it. So it's a classic like maneuver that writers take. It's a good one too. Like when a character has a secret identity, but this issue was pretty medium.
Yeah,
I still really like Batman in that coat though. I do not like Hubert's art, but man, Batman in that coat is so cool.
Oh, this is the Hubert art I like the most though. This is like I mean, like it's not.
Dude, that last page is really fucking rough. Like, yeah. the proportions on those people are just.
I'm not sure. Wrong. Like I enjoy his art somewhat, like in this book, but like I don't see how he's ever considered to be like a superstar artist, like ever, like at all. Like I don't see where it is, because like. He just never is consistent throughout a whole book. It's like, it's strange. Yeah. But hey, comics. No one understands him.
I mean, I bet if he had, like, he was able to draw it on his own schedule, it would look better.
True, yeah.
I'm sure, but I even as someone who, like, doesn't like his style, I'm sure I would appreciate his art more if he was able to, like, draw it in on a schedule that actually made sense for producing the amount of art that comic book artists produce.
It's insane.
Cool. Emily, I think you had something before we started talking about Batman the Detective.
I came across the information that we are 3 months out from the premiere of the Why the Last Man TV series on FX.
Yeah. They had a really good teaser image of little Mr. Yorick with his gas mask.
I didn't even know if I've seen that.
So, like, I'm hoping that the TV show adaptation cleans up a lot of the stuff about the show that doesn't age well.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Like, that seems like that that's going to be the case. I would be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah.
Definitely check
it IMO, out. They should cut the IDF shit. And probably no one will say the R.
Oh my god. It, can you imagine if they kept they the IDF shit keep and it comes all. Out keep now? God.
Keep all the IDF shit, keep all the slurs, and just be like, this is Why the Last Man. And
we adapted it. You wanted an adaptation of Why the Last Man. We gave you a this goddamn is what you adaptation people ask of Why for. The Last Man. Yeah.
Monkey's paw situation there.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously, like, Alex, you revisited way more of the comic than I did last year. But I'm still interested in this show because I think that, like, it seems like Brian BKV is, like, fairly heavily involved in it. And I'm sure that a lot of, like, the, you know, cultural things will be updated for.
Right. I mean, it's current BKV who's on it. The question is he in love with his copy? Is he in love with what he did those years ago?
I kind of doubt it. Like I guess I don't know. Like I can't speak for him in that way, but like he doesn't seem like a writer who would be so married to his past work, especially considering how wildly different his contemporary work is.
Yeah. You know?
Like he's clearly grown a lot as both a person and a writer. And you can see that by, you know, reading 25 years worth of comics, right? So, I mean, even going back to something like Ex Machina, like, it's not, like...
I mean, look, if anybody read something that I wrote, like, I can't say 20 years ago, because, like, I would have been 8. But, like, if someone read something that I wrote when I was, like, even just 18, like, I would be thoroughly embarrassed. So,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
I get it.
We'll see, I guess.
Like, I didn't enjoy my experience rereading the comic, but, like, I also understand that he's grown as a writer.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all read Saga, right? Like,
I mean, I only read, like, 1.5 trades of Saga, but, like, you know, I read some of it and I liked it.
And it's kind of cool, just, like, I mean, this isn't specifically to comics, but, like, the fact that you can, like, on my bookshelf, I have Brian K. Vaughan books from, like, that span over the course of 25 years, and it's cool that you can just have, like, just like a part of someone's like creative output for that long, just like you can, like, you know, you can kind of see the journey and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
pretty neat. Speaking
I feel
of
like
journey,
the writers might hate it, but you know.
Yeah, probably. But speaking of journey, we've I think our 5th year anniversary of starting the show is definitely in June, which is crazy.
It is. It's insane. We don't have a specific date because I think the first year worth of shows don't exist anymore.
That's probably better.
I think we should do it at the end of June, so we have a chance to reread some stuff. Next week might be a bit tight.
Yeah, so we are planning on doing some kind of anniversary show that we will, you know, talk about more as we get closer to it.
I'm excited.
I think as we sort of hammer out the details, but that should be coming. You know, if I think end of this month probably makes
the last
sense.
Saturday of the month is in 2 weeks, so
yeah, 26th. Yep. I think yeah. So we'll talk about that. We will do something special to celebrate our 5th year because doing 5 years of anything is a lot of doing that thing.
I don't think I've ever done 5 years of anything. Except this podcast.
I don't know. I did 5 years of elementary school.
Okay, you got me there.
I've been doing 5 years of podcasting on my other podcast. You guys probably started
right
before
special.
I did.
We're not special.
Because my 5 year anniversary of podcasting is in October.
Ooh.
So you guys were just right before me.
See?
Yay.
Lots of 5th years.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll, like I said, we'll probably talk about that more when it becomes more relevant and things become more set in stone. But in the meantime, I think we can wrap it up for this week, at least. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you same time next week.
Bye.
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 If you would like to follow the Comics Podcast on Twitter, you can find us at Comics Podcast. We are also on Facebook and Instagram as The Comics Podcast. If you would like to follow our host, John Luke, you can find him at Mount Dew Liker on Twitter and JL Botville on Letterboxd. If you would like to follow Alex, you can find him at Alex Hansiak on Twitter or at the Roller Coaster Tycoon Twitter accounts. If you would like to follow Chad, you can find him at Inanum Band on Twitter, or you can read his short stories at inanum.wordpress.com. You can also buy his game, The Land of Glass, on Steam, and his books, The Ninth Life, Dreamscape, and Toyland on Amazon. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, I am at mpandanata, or you can listen to my other podcasts, Imagine Me in Utena and The Fresh Podcast Market. I'm also an editor for the podcasts Big Steppy, Puella Magi, Modica Magcast, Pokemon Mind and Body, and the YouTube series Backseat Drawing. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye!